All right, I think I got it going in the right direction. If I can get this on without nicking myself, we'll be good. There we go. All right, can you hear me all right? As I have told some of you, I'm still hard of hearing. I lost my left ear while on vacation, so I can't hear out of it yet. And I'm going to have to do something about that this week. So, see if I can get it fixed. I'm really thankful. I got back last week, was planning on preaching, and Matt had a message ready for last week, and I thought, well, he'll probably do everything that I was going to do today, and he didn't take any of my scriptures at all, and I credit that to the Lord, because he knows what he's doing, and we needed to hear what Matt brought last week, that God's promises are yes. You know, we don't have to worry about trusting our Father. And today I want to talk about honoring our fathers. I was planning on a Father's Day message last week. We're going to have it this week. Lord had just put this on my heart while I was gone on vacation that week, and I spent some time and put together a message that God has for us as fathers today. So let's begin today with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you today that you care about what happens to the church, and that, Lord, that you have definite instructions for us as men, as godly men, Father, who lead our families. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for all that you have written there. And I just pray, Father, that you'll give me the words to say today to encourage our fathers, to lift them up to you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin today in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you would turn to Ephesians, we'll begin there. And I'm going to just begin with verses 2 and 3. These verses, part of the Ten Commandments, actually, says to honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Imagine, just by honoring our father and mother, it will go well with us and we'll enjoy long life on the earth. When I was young, I can remember that I thought I knew more than my dad did, probably as a teenager. And as I got a little older and married, I realized that Dad was pretty smart. When I started having children, I started realizing how smart he really was. I think it took me being a dad to understand what my dad was. Dad raised 9 children. You can't be an idiot and do that, I guess, you know. And so I realized pretty shortly after being married and getting on my own that I could learn a lot from my father, and I learned to respect him after I got older and spent more time in the Word and realized the importance of honoring my father and mother. So many times as youngsters, as teenagers, we don't honor them. But I think it's important that as we get older and become the men of God that he wants us to be, that we learn to honor our father and our mother. And so as the Lord was showing me what to bring, he wanted to show us a little bit what our responsibility as fathers are and as husbands. So I want to back up now to Ephesians chapter 5 and begin there in verse 22. It starts out by saying, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So, God is relating us husbands as to Jesus and the church. We're the head of our home, to take the authority in our home, and we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And I've thought about that a lot, because there's some times when I don't feel like loving her that way. Any of you who have a relationship, a marriage relationship, realize that it's not all fun. It's not all easy. It's not always... every day is not perfect, I guess I'll put it that way. And Patsy and I celebrated 43 years together this week. We're total opposites. You know, they say that opposites attract, and they did for us. We're just different people. But we have... I heard on the way to church this morning, and on K-Lab, it says that marriages are worth fighting for. And, you know, I thought that's so true. Because sometimes we'd had to fight to make it through. There's just tough times in marriages, as all of you know. And it's not always going to be an easy road. It's not always going to be fun, but it's worth fighting for. And that's what God is saying here. He's saying, husbands, love your wives as I love the church, and give yourself up for her. As we love our wives, we're going to want what's best for her. We're going to try to make life easy for her. We're going to be willing to lay down our life for our wives. And that's one of the things that Jesus did for the church. He laid down his life. Without that happening, our faith is worthless, isn't it? Without Jesus dying on the cross and then giving his life for the church. So, if we don't love our wives as we love ourselves, it says we can't please God. And so, it says there in verse 29, after all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it, cares for it. We pretty well know how to take care of ourselves, don't we, guys? Or to take care of our wives the same way, to nourish them, care for them, love them. So I guess our first instruction that Jesus has for us is to love our wives, take care of our wives, and nourish them. The second thing I want to talk about is training our children, and that's found there in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to go 1 through 4 now. The first verse says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How important it is that we train our children in the Lord. That we bring them up to know Jesus. As I think of my childhood, I remember church wasn't even, it wasn't an option to stay home from church. We went because it was part of our family heritage. It's what we did. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. When I grew up, we were in church. We milked cows, so we had to get up and make sure the chores were done before we went. But that always happened. We were, because it was a working farm, we were really thankful for a day of rest. A lot of us now, we find lots of things to do on Sundays. We find lots of things to do. But for us, it was a matter of principle. We went. It was part of our lives. And I'm thankful for that because it has taught me now to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy, just as the Scripture says. But that was part of my training. Mom and Dad trained us in the ways of the Lord. We had Sunday school. We had something for the youth to do on Wednesday evenings. We had daily Bible study at home. Mom and Dad would sit around with the whole family. There's 9 of us children, and they would sit around with all of us and open the Scripture, and we would go through the Scriptures and pray together and share around the Word of God. And how important that was in my life, because I got the training that I needed to be able to go on in life and be what God wanted me to be. So what He's doing here, guys, is training us to be men of God, to be godly men in our homes, and to be the men that will make a difference in the world, that will make a difference for our children. And as I was looking at verses that talked about training our children, I need to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Those of you who are familiar with Deuteronomy, this is just more of the right after the Ten Commandments, and talking about here about what we need to do as parents. And in chapter 6 here, it talks about loving the Lord with all of our heart. I want to begin with verse 1 and read down through 9. It says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." So there's that again. So that you may enjoy long life. So he's directing us to keep His decrees, to keep His commands. And then he goes on to say, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." So not only are they written in His Word, but they're also written on our hearts. We learn them, we study them, we memorize them so that they're with us all the time. So we put His commands in our hearts. And then in verse 7 he says, "Impress them on your children." Don't just tell them, but impress them on your children. Let them know that the commands of the Lord are right. They're righteous. They're just awesome. It says, "Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." It doesn't leave out anything, does it? So we're doing one of those all the time. So talk about them with your children. When you're just out for a walk, when you're sitting around the house, when you're laying down, when you're up, talk about the commands of the Lord with your children. "Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. How do we do that? I've seen bands that people wear that have scriptures on them, or little sayings. It goes on to say here, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. I could probably go in any of your homes and see plaques on the wall with scriptures on them. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Another one that I think of is be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. There's just all kinds of scriptures that we have up on the wall in our homes that are on either paintings or just on a plaque. And that's how we put them on our houses, on our door frames, on our posts. The last, it was Greg and Mary Beth, Suzanne Duffy's, Hirshner's, the last three of the last houses we did, we get the houses up and framed, and while we're putting in mechanicals and putting in wiring and plumbing, I notice every morning we come, there's up on the headers of the doors and windows, there's scriptures written. And all three of these families did that. And I thought, that's awesome, because they're covering their houses with the Word of God. And that, to me, just meant a lot, because here's people that we're working for who love the Lord as we do and know that God's Word is true and how important it is that we know these commands, that we have them written. These are not actually out now where they can see them. We covered them up with drywall, but they're there in the house. The Word of God is right there in the house. I mean, there's other things out now where you can see them, but those are covered up there in the house. And that was really an awesome idea. And I was amazed how many of our people did it. We're really blessed because our business is word-of-mouth advertising, and we don't do any papers and, advertising any other way. So we get really good people, and I thank God for that. When I started in business, I advertised for a while, and some of the people that we built for weren't much fun. I'll just put it that way. The last, since 89, I guess, my business has been fun. I've enjoyed it. Because we've allowed God to be a big part of it. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He brings us good customers, because building cannot be fun if you have bad customers. I'll just put it that way. If you've got somebody that's not enjoyable to work with, it's not much fun. But God has made it enjoyable for Jesse and I, and I thank Him for that. But we're to impress Jesus' commands onto our children. We're to teach them. We're to train them. Proverbs 22:6, and I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. If we train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. And that's a promise in Proverbs 22:6. God's promises are true. As Matt said last week, they're yes. They're not yes and no, but they're yes. We can depend on Him. And Patsy and I had to depend on that promise in our home. Both of our children walked away from the Lord in their teenage years, and so we thought we'd failed. We just couldn't understand why our children had gone astray. And so we went and talked to a widow woman in our church, and she said, "You guys haven't failed." She said, "You have to realize that everybody has to choose their own way. Everybody chooses their own way." And she said, "Remember Proverbs 22:6. If you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it." And so we clung to that promise. We actually blamed ourselves, because we thought we had failed some way. And she reassured us that we didn't. Finally, we got to the place where we said, "Lord, do whatever it takes to bring them back to the Lord. And we give them to you." We finally had to give up trying to do it ourselves and let Him do it. And I tell you, it was just a short time after that that both of them came back to walk with the Lord. And and have ever since. And wow, you know, you see God work and you learn to trust Him. You learn to trust Him. And so don't be afraid, guys, to train your children in the ways of the Lord, to allow God to move in their lives and make them the men and women that He wants them to be. Deuteronomy 5, let's just back up a little bit. I wrote there from chapter 6. First of all, verse 29, you know, as we were talking about the command to honor our fathers, it's right there on the page just before chapter 6, verse 16 says, and this is the Ten Commandments written here, and verse 16 says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. If you don't ever know where to look for the Ten Commandments, they're right there in Deuteronomy chapter 5. You can go there and find them anytime. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29 says, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always, so that it may go well with them and their children forever. And then verse 32 says, so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. So how important is it that we walk as godly men, that we keep His commands, that we impress them onto our children? I'm blessed because my grandchildren are right next door as well, so I'm able to impart into their lives as well on a daily basis, and I thank God for that. I see so many families who have children, and they'll state this when they're 18, they're out of here, I don't have that responsibility anymore. But guys, know that our children are our responsibility for life, not just until they're 18. Because it's talking here about impressing them on our children, on our children's children, generation after generation. You know, there's in Europe, I think, in a lot of godly families, that mom, dad, grandpa and grandma, and the kids are all in the same house. Parents and grandparents and several generations live together and work together and walk together. And so it doesn't ever, we don't ever give up that responsibility of training our children, of nurturing them, of showing them God's way. As godly men, we have a responsibility for life with our families. I want to finish up today in Psalms 91. And most of you who know that psalm know exactly why I'm going there. Psalms 91. And just a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because you all know this chapter. But in chapter 91, verses 1 and 2, it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. We can trust Him. We don't have to wonder if He's trustworthy. We learn that. As we spend time with Him, as we get to know Him, we learn that He's trustworthy. And then in the last part of the chapter, beginning at verse 14, He says, because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. So because we love Him, we'll keep His commands. And because we love Him, He'll protect us. He'll watch out for us. It says, He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I was thankful for that promise this week that I will be with him in trouble. As all of you know, we don't go through life without troubles, and we've had a few this week, but I can honestly say that God has been with us in our trouble, and I thank him for that. There's a little poem. I actually got this from my son-in-law for Father's Day. It was in a card that he gave me, and it's about a godly man making a difference. It says, one godly man can make a difference. He can set an example that others want to follow in the way he leads, the way he loves, the way he lives. The encouraging words he speaks can turn doubt and worry into confidence and courage. And he can change a life just by being part of it. So that's what we can be, guys, by being a godly man, by being a godly father and a godly husband. We can make a difference in somebody else's life. We can be the men that God has called to walk with him, to follow his commands, to teach them to our children, to love our wives as he loves the church and gave himself up for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to give us instruction, to show us, Father, the way that we're to react and act, Father, to be the godly husbands that you want us to be the godly fathers that you want us to be, Lord, to be able to share you with everyone that we come in contact with. So, Father, I pray today for our fathers, for the godly men that you have put here at Open Arms Christian Church, for the godly men who surround us here, Father, and who lift us up daily, who walk with us and care for us and love their families and care for their families. I thank you, Lord, that you've put those kind of men in our midst. Men that we can follow and an example after, Lord. Men that are willing to give up their time for their families, who are willing to even give up their life for their wives and their families. Thank you, Lord, for instilling that in these men. And Lord, I pray that as we go today, pay attention to what we've heard from your word today, that we'll listen, Father, and be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. In your precious name, amen.
Apparently, you shot a shotgun yesterday.
From who?
Thank you.
Okay.
He shot a shotgun yesterday and forgot to put on his earphones, so he can't hear.
Okay.
And he has a migraine, and he didn't hear his alarm this morning, so that's why he wasn't here.
All right.
So we need.
All right. We're going to lift Spanky up. Any of you others, if you have prayer needs this morning, I'm going to ask you that you'll come. Allow us to pray with you. Guys, come and do a closing song. While he's doing that, Father, I lift Spanky up to you just now. We ask, Father, that you'll heal his ears, or that he will be able to hear again. Just thank you for his life and his love. Just ask for your blessings for him in Jesus' name. Amen.